Okay, Liz, here's some quick math. The less your business spends on operations, multiple systems, delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs, you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems, and you improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors.
Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Hollywood. NetSuite.com/Hollywood. NetSuite.com/Hollywood.
Okay, are we ready for this notes call?
I feel sick.
Yeah, let's just remember this will be over by dinner.
Over by dinner.
Hi, and welcome to Happier in Hollywood, the podcast about how to be happier, healthier, saner, more creative, more successful, and more productive in a backbiting, superficial, chaotic, unpredictable, fundamentally insane world. I'm Sarah Fain, a TV writer and producer living in Los Angeles, and with me is my high school friend and writing partner of 17 years, Liz.
That's me, Liz Kraft, also a TV writer and producer living in LA. On this podcast, we talk about what it's like to be writers in Hollywood, how we balance a career and friendship, and how to survive the war of attrition that is life in Los Angeles.
Today, we're going to ask the question, what's your currency? Then we'll share why telling ourselves this will be over by dinner gets us through stressful moments.
Followed by a beverage-related Hollywood hack. But before we get into our first segment, we want to mention our Facebook group.
Yes. Our Facebook group is growing every day. It's such a fun community.
Yeah, I love hearing from everybody. We get immediate feedback on episodes. Mm-hmm. People can comment and then respond to each other's comments.
And people are doing meditation accountability there.
Yes, that's a big part of it.
People also have posted a question saying, I want to start a screenwriting group. Is there anyone who would like to join this group?
Yes. So if anyone wants to get in on any of these hot topics, please do join our Facebook group. It's a ton of fun.
And you search for Happier in Hollywood on Facebook and then send a request to join.
And we will let you in. Okay, Sarah, let's dive into our segment From the Treadmill Desk Of, in which we discuss what's most pressing in our psyches. And today it's a question. What's your currency?
Yes. So this came up because my kindergarten consultant suggested I do a rewards chart for my daughter, Violet.
All right. Well, first, I think you need to explain what a kindergarten consultant is. I think this is a very LA thing. I'm not sure they're everywhere.
Yeah, it probably is. So if you are going through this process of applying to private schools in LA, which we are, there are people you can hire. Mine is a very nice woman named Jamie, who will sort of help you through that process. Like when you were going through the kindergarten application process, I mean, it's insane that this is a thing. Let's just acknowledge that. When you were going through the process, you had Adam to kind of bounce things off of.
Yes, and it was still so stressful.
So stressful. So when it was my turn, you were like, you should call this woman. So that's what I did. And she's really been helping me just sort of manage where to apply and the whole process.
Yeah.
So part of the application process is doing these mini days where she does like a practice day of kindergarten. And when you're there, you want them to be good first time listeners.
Yes. When the teachers tell them, hey, sit in the circle, you want them to sit immediately.
Exactly. Anyway, so she suggested that I do this first time listener chart with Violet. So she gets used to feeling really good about listening the first time, which is very important for being a successful kindergartner. So what I've been thinking about is, you know, you have to figure out what the right reward structure is for your child if you're doing a reward chart. What do they respond to?
Right.
Because all kids want different things. So I've been thinking a lot about the question, what is Violet's currency?
And what is it?
It's screen time. YouTube, the Barbie show, like she's obsessed with
this Barbie show, and I usually don't let her watch it. Basically, every time she is a first-time listener, she gets a sticker, and once she gets to 20, she either gets YouTube time or a Barbie episode. What is Jack's currency, do you think?
His is definitely screen time, or if we were really going nuts, a trip to Legoland.
Oh, wow. That's a big one.
That would be a big one.
But kids aren't the only people with their own currency. We adults have our own currency as well, and it's what motivates us, what drives us, and what our currency is affects how we make choices and how we spend our time.
So in this whole process, did you think about what's your currency?
I did.
And what is it?
I think my currency is control.
As your writing partner, I would 100% agree with that. And your friend, more importantly.
It's a little bit embarrassing because it's, you know, not the best quality in the world. It's actually weird because I feel like having a writing partner in a way gives me more control because I have more freedom.
Right. You know. You can, if you have to go to the doctor, I'm there.
Right.
If you have, you know, if one of us has to do something, the other can cover, and that gives us more control in a way.
Yes, it's like oddly more liberating. But yeah, I think maybe because I have felt so many times in the past I didn't have control, now it's just a really important thing for me to have in my life. It makes me feel comfortable.
Well, and you've said many times to me that you can't imagine having to compromise the way I do with parenting or especially remodeling.
Remodeling. Oh my God. I watch you going through the whole remodeling process and I just think like I like to get a lot of input.
Right.
But then I want to be able to make the decision and like the constant sort of back and forth about like tile or whatever, I think would make me crazy. So yeah, that's a place where I definitely like to have control. When I remodeled my old house, it was just like, it was so easy comparatively.
So it is interesting. It's like having control is what drives you forward. Like for instance, I could say, obviously our number one goal in life professionally is to have our own show. Well, that would give us a lot more control.
Exactly.
So that makes sense.
Yes. It's all about that control over our schedule and creatively and sort of every arena. Yes.
Yeah. So we know plenty of people who definitively don't want their own show because they don't want to be in control because it's a lot of pressure.
Right. Cool with me.
Yeah. More for us.
Yes, exactly. So Liz, what is your currency?
Well, I'm somewhat embarrassed to say my currency is actually money.
Your currency
is currency.
So my currency
is currency. I really am driven by wanting to earn money.
Yeah.
I like to think there's a slight depth to it. I mean, part of it is our job is very unstable. You never sort of know when your career might end abruptly. So I feel like having money is just a security and a safety issue. I want to know that I have enough money to get Jack through school and to like have a comfortable retirement. And so I'm very driven to want to make money.
Yes.
Also, one thing I've realized is I always think if I had a lot of money, I would buy all these fabulous things like these amazing bags and amazing shoes and jewelry.
Yeah.
Like I have no jewelry.
Right.
And it's like, even though I probably wouldn't even use these things, it's like my fantasy self.
Right.
And so I have this idea that if I had enough money, I would be living my fantasy life.
You would just be fabulous all the time.
I would be fabulous. But since I don't have that pressure since I'm not earning that, you know, enough to have my fabulous.
To have a different Hermes for every
day. Exactly. But anyway, so my currency is currency.
Nice.
Should we find out what Boafwa's currency is?
Oh, yes, we absolutely should. Boafwa, can you come in?
Hey, Boafwa.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So, Boafwa, what is your currency?
I think it would be travel. If I could travel anywhere, that'd be awesome.
So you're driven by wanting to see the world, experience different cultures, or just lay on the beach? What is the...
So when I imagine my perfect life, I'm staffed on a show, and during hiatus, which is the couple of months you have off as a break, I'm traveling around the world and taking fabulous Instagram pictures, much like Brooke. Except that I also have family around the world, and I would use that time to visit them, so...
Aww. So why, Sarah, is it important that we know our currency? Like, how does this help us move forward in life?
Well, I think it's just always important to know yourself better and just to know kind of what drives you and what motivates you.
And it helps prioritize.
Yes.
Like, what are you looking for? I mean, if you're looking for a job, for instance, if travel is important to you, yeah, then you need to make sure you have a career that allows time for travel.
Or like Wafa, when she interviewed with us, literally, I think we offered you the job and you were like, okay, that's fine, but I am going to Ghana for 2 weeks. And I think if that hadn't been okay, you probably would have passed on the job.
I definitely would have passed on the job.
Yeah, you have to know kind of what your priorities are so you can tell people in advance and schedule your life and organize things.
Yeah, and it helps you, yeah, when you're negotiating for something, it helps you to crystallize what it is you want.
Yes.
Like, you want control. Which is, again, we're trying to create a situation where we have more control.
And like when we negotiate things, we've talked about this before, about how when we negotiated into our contract being able to bring an assistant when we do pilots out
right.
of town. That's super important. And that does help me feel like I have more control.
Yeah.
And it's more travel for me.
And more travel for you. See, we just have to get a pilot out of town.
Yes. And then... my desire for currency will help us negotiate for more currency in the future.
Exactly. It's all about knowing what you need.
What is your currency? We want to know. Email us at happierinhollywood.com or leave us a voicemail at 949-HAPPY21. Coming up, we'll talk about a trick we have for staying mentally healthy. But first, a word from our sponsor. There are some stories about my mom's life that I truly never get tired of hearing. For instance, her first job was as a movie usher, and she would walk around with a flashlight and tell people to get their feet off the seat, and I just love hearing about it. Well, just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for my family forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mother or your mom figure's life for years to come. And at the end, you get it all put together in a book. And I know I will be so happy to have that book on the shelf and be able to open it anytime I want and read a wonderful story about my mom.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, you'll save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/Hollywood. That's storyworth.com/Hollywood to save $10 on your first purchase.
Liz, now it's time for a segment we call Take a Hike, in which we discuss mental, physical, and spiritual health, probably in a fairly woo-woo way. And today we're tackling mental health.
Yes, Sarah, our mental health is preserved by our top secret approach to dealing with stressful situations, which is that we say to ourselves, this will be over by dinner. We say this a lot.
A lot.
I mean, not daily, but certainly weekly.
For sure. And it came up most recently because we had our first notes call on our Marcia Clark project. And we were, I mean, to say nervous is such an understatement.
I was fanning myself with, like, paper, feeling like I was going to faint while we were waiting for everyone to get on the phone.
It was horrible. Like, we just both felt so sick. Happily, we can report that it went well.
Yes.
But in situations like that, what we say to ourselves is, this will be over by dinner. And it just reminds us that, like, there is an end time for this feeling.
Yes. And if it's in the morning, we say, this will be over by lunch.
Yes. And if it's a thing on Monday, we say, this will be over by Tuesday.
Yes.
It's like whatever time frame we need, we just remind ourselves that there is an ending coming up.
Yes. It might be, this will be over by Christmas.
And it can be for things large and things small.
Yes, it can be, you know, something small like a notes call, although small but with big implications.
Yes.
Something big like a whole script that we're, you know, a pilot script we're doing.
Or a pilot screening.
Or a tough job.
Yes.
I mean, sometimes you have a tough job. Our jobs don't tend to last that long often. So you can say, this will be over by summer.
Yes.
When summer comes, we'll never be here again.
Right. Yes. It's, you know, it just reminds you also that we have used this phrase now, I mean, hundreds
I think
of
since
times.
2006.
Yeah. Do you remember the first time we used it?
It was when we were pitching Women's Murder Club,
wow.
Which is a show we made in 2007, but we were pitching it to ABC in 2006. I mean, I remember it very clearly.
Wow.
We were sitting across from each other at like some little table before the pitch, and we both felt sick.
Yeah.
And we looked at each other and said, this will be over by dinner. And we've used it for every stressful situation since.
Yes.
Wow. And we did get through that pitch and we sold it and it became a show. So
yes.
It worked.
Exactly.
But yeah, when we say it to each other, it reminds us of how many times in the last decade plus we have gotten through these things that seemed potentially unpleasant or nerve-wracking or high stakes, whatever it is. It's like it reminds us, okay, we've gotten through all these past things. We'll get through it again.
Yes.
We just have to make it to dinner.
Exactly. It's sort of another version of this too shall pass.
Yes.
But it's more concrete.
Yes. It's our way of saying that.
Yeah. So let us know if you use this will be over by lunch or dinner or Christmas, and if it helps you. Do you have another mantra to get through challenging moments? Send us a voicemail at 949-HAPPY21 or an email at happierinhollywood@gmail.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Next up, a Hollywood hack that comes in sparkling or flat. But first, a word from our sponsor. Okay, Sarah, it's time for our weekly Hollywood hack. Today's hack is to say yes to the drink.
Yes. This is a particular thing in Hollywood where everyone is constantly going on rounds of meetings with executives and writers. And it's such a part of our culture here that doing a round of these meetings is often called the water bottle tour.
Yes, because whenever you go to one of these meetings, and that's whether you're meeting with an executive at a studio or network or a writer on a show or a producer, they always offer you something to drink when you arrive. And we were told when we first moved here in 1998 to always say yes when they ask if you want a drink.
Yes, and to always be specific about what you want. So, like, it's not just water. If you want a Diet Coke, ask for a Diet Coke. If you want coffee, ask for a coffee.
And the reason for this is that, again, at this point in our career, luckily, we're not sort of worried about seeming like we know what we're doing or seeming confident because we've just been around long enough. But when you first start out and you're just so nervous and shaky, I think the instinct is to go to a meeting and someone says, oh, can I offer you something to drink? The instinct is to say, no, I'm fine, because you don't want to impose. But that can give off an impression of weakness because
right.
you don't want to impose. Whereas someone who's confident and says, yes, I'd like a Diet Coke, please, feels like they have a right to be there.
Yes, you're not imposing. You're not overstepping. You're not putting anyone out. Ask for that drink.
Have your coffee.
That's right. Because also, you're going to want to have that drink once the meeting starts.
Right. Well, yes, because you could end up getting some dry mouth if you're nervous. Now, I will say I have a bit of an issue with this, Sarah, myself, because, you know, unfortunately, when I'm really nervous, I get shaky hands. It's
right.
like one of the curses of my life. And so there have been times when I'm really nervous and I have a drink in front of me on the table and I can't pick it up because it'll like my hand will be shaking and trembling as I try to get it to my mouth. So I'll be there and really want a drink and say to myself, I can't take a drink. I can't reveal my shaky hands. So that is, you know, one downside for me. Now, luckily, in most meetings, at this point, I don't have shaky hands. Now it's only if we have a big pitch.
Right.
And then I have my beta blocker.
Exactly. And I just like to have something to hold. You know, I like to have like a security blanket, water bottle or cup of water there to just grip onto. It makes me feel kind of centered in some way.
Yeah.
I'm the opposite, I guess.
Yeah. So, yeah, you like having that steadying force. Yes. An anchor. It's your anchor.
It's my meeting anchor. Liz, you have a great asking for a drink in a meeting story.
Yes. Speaking of asking for a drink, I heard the story from an actress. And she went into a meeting and she felt that all of the people she was meeting with had a certain impression of her from her prior work. And she wanted to change that impression. They asked her if she wanted a drink, and she said, yes, I'll have a Coke, because she thought it would shock them that an actress such as herself would ask for a Coke.
Yeah, not a Diet Coke.
Instead of a Diet Coke. And not only did she request a Coke, she then drank the entire thing in the meeting, because she thought, they're never going to think an actress like me would drink this sugary Coke. It made her feel confident, and I think it did throw everybody and, you know, make them look at her in a new way.
Right.
So a successful drink story.
A drink is a power move.
Say yes to a drink. Okay, Sarah, before we say goodbye, it's time for celebrity sightings.
Yes, it was so exciting this week. We were walking back from our usual, like at lunch, we go and get a coffee or a tea, and then we walk back to our office. And on the way back to our office, we saw Matt Bomer and Rosemary DeWitt. Of course, they have that celebrity glow thing happening. Like Matt Bomer had these awesome sunglasses on and like this fabulous, like, hairdo. He looked very slick. And Rosemary DeWitt just has that perfect dewy skin.
They're both starring in Amazon's The Last Tycoon, which is loosely based on F. Scott Fitzgerald's last novel, and also stars Kelsey Grammer.
Of course, Matt Bomer for me will always be the guy from Guiding Light.
Of course.
And Rosemary DeWitt was in The United States of Terror, which I just loved.
Sarah, I have to say I'm glad what we have our time on the Paramount lot, because I feel like we're working so much. We don't see as many celebrities out in the wild because we're either home or working. So luckily we have the Paramount lot to provide us with our celebrity sightings.
Exactly. And that is it for this episode of Happier in Hollywood. What's your currency? Let us know. Email us at happierinhollywood@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and please subscribe if you haven't already. And if you like the podcast, give us a review in Apple Podcasts. It really helps listeners find us.
If you have any pressing questions about life in Hollywood, leave us a voicemail at 949-HAPPY-21.
Thanks to Bwafwa for sharing her currency with us today. Thanks to our producer, Jennifer Lai. Also thanks to Kristen Meinzer and Andy Bowers of Panoply. Thank you to Gretchen Rubin. Happier in Hollywood is part of the Onward Project.
Get in touch. I'm on Twitter at Elizabeth Kraft, and Sarah is at Sarah M. Fain. Remember, we're also on Facebook. Search the Happier in Hollywood group on Facebook to join in on the conversation.
You can find us on Instagram, too. I'm at S. Fain, and Liz is at Liz Kraft.
Until next week, I'm Liz Kraft.
And I'm Sarah Fain. Thanks for joining us. It's a fun job.
And we enjoy it. By the way, Sarah, even though I say my currency is currency, Jack thinks my currency is hugs.
Oh.
Because whenever he's trying to get something from me, he's either offering hugs or threatening to withhold hugs.
No. Oh, no.
Yeah. And he's
kind of
right.
Hugs.
I think maybe that is my currency.
It's your parenting currency.
Yeah, exactly.